mama claim this. Okay. Let's begin. Alright, we're speaking about Parshas Mishpatim today, and first thing I want to begin with is the concept of emes, the concept of truth, and to be an honest and ethical person. You know, the Gemara comments in Sanhedrin that the signature of Hashem is truth. That is his signature. And a person who wants to become close to Hashem has to be an emes person. We find that Gemara comments in Brachos that someone who is someone who's not tocho kebaro, where the Rambam writes, any tamachachos not tocho kebaro, they wouldn't let in the Bes Medrash. The Rambam has a phrase, we are echad bepev, echad belev. Rambam writes that sometimes someone's a phony. He has one voice in his heart, one voice in his mouth, and it's not the same. So the Rambam expands that not just to a Talmud Chacham, but to every single person. So a person has to realize that, you know, you want to be an emes person. And a person should try to emulate Hashem's ways. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Tav is the last. And Mem is the middle. So you have to be emes from the beginning, middle, to end. They say over from Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian Zatzal that when he was asked what time it was, he would say it's around a certain time, because he never knew if his watch was exactly correct. So he didn't want to lie. So he would say it's around certain time. And they say a story over from Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. They asked him, he would say, how was he zocha to a long life? He was zocha to a long life because he always told the truth. He lived till he was 95. And he said that was because he always told the truth. And nothing but the truth. And they say over that a Talmud of his once said that he had to lie to his workplace, and he had to tell them, he lied and he said that he had a doctor's appointment. He said he had a doctor's appointment, and therefore he would be able to go to the Purim Seuda, because he wanted to be able to take off, good morning Nate, he wanted to be able to take off work. We're talking about truth. Important of emes. He wanted to take off. Good morning, Yosef. He wanted to take off work because he had a doctor's appointment, and he was lying. He said he's got to go to the, he was going for the Purim Suda. And Rabbi Yaakov looked at him and said, do you know the Purim Suda is the Rabbanan? Do you know lying is innocent of your Isa? That's what he said to him. Recently, I just got a call. You guys, I'll tell you who it was. It was, you know, he graduated recently, Benji. Benji Halper, who became a chosen. He asked me, he was going to take another interview. He was going on another interview, already has a job, and he said, can he lie to the boss and say he has a doctor's appointment? I said, no, of course not. I just said, just say you have an appointment. Just say you have an appointment. You have to say what, you know. He does have an appointment. He has another interview, right? But to say you have a doctor's appointment, also, first of all, you never want to lie. And you never want to lie about medical stuff, God forbid. You never want to do that, okay? Specifically. But you know what? That's really untrue, because you really should never lie about anything. So I want you to get those two stories about the importance of emes. And I really feel that the Torah says a phrase in our parsha that's really very strong about this. And I think you need to keep it in mind. And it says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. It doesn't say Lo Tishakru, does it? What does it say? It says, Hashem says, distance yourself. It's not enough not to do it. It's not enough not to lie, but you need to distance yourself from lying. That's, you know, every word of the Chumash of the Torah is from Hashem, of course, and you got to heed that. And obviously, if the Hashem's signet is Emes, Hashem's signet is Emes, that means not only should you not lie when you come close, but you should distance yourself from it. So it's a very important thing. Small lies, a lot of people get in habits of doing, and it's bad. And again, there are times, which we'll discuss right now, where you can fib a little bit. You know what the word fib means? Like a white lie. The Gemara writes in Yevamos and Daf Samech Beis, there's two opinions, whether it's mutar l'shanos b'nei shalom or mitzvah. Are you allowed to change or deviate because of shalom? There's one opinion that says mutar and one opinion that says a mitzvah. So if it's mutar, it's like a dechuya. You know what pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is mutar. Is that a dechuya? You suspend Shabbos in midair, but you should try to minimize the malachas you're doing. Or is pikuach nefesh a hutra? What's hutra mean? That Shabbos doesn't exist. And you don't have to minimize these soon because you're saving someone's life. So the same issue is, if you have to lie, is it totally what, mutter? That's what it means, it's a mitzvah. Or do you say it's a dechuya and you should try to minimize it best as you can? You really should try to minimize it. And there are people that you all know that, unfortunately, I'm sure you guys know guys like that you can't trust, unfortunately. And as they get older, they get in the habit of lying, and it's bad. I always say that YU is a training ground for life. And this includes cheating and things of that sort, you know, which is bad and it's unacceptable. And guys that do it, you know, it becomes ingrained in their personality. And people say, no, it doesn't affect me. It does affect you. It does affect you, and it's not right. So, you know, you have to get in and train yourself and get involved in it. You know, you have to do certain things to be a law-abiding Ben Torah and a law-abiding American. Let's say, Lamaisa, let's say by, you know, the law is if someone hits your car, you know what I mean? You're supposed to stop. You have to stop till the police come. That's the law. You got to get going, but that's the law. The law is you have to wait till the police come. You have to be a person that is an emissive person and that you know is law-abiding and observes that. And to that degree, Hashem says that... I'll give you like two examples where it's mutter to fib a little bit. Let's say someone asks me a question and my answer will be Lashon Hara. So I can say I don't know. I can say I don't know. Chafetz Chaim writes that I can fib a little bit. That's a little bit more than a little bit, but you are allowed to. Okay? You could say you don't know. I'll give you another example. Rebbe Yoshev writes, this is a chiddush, but it's interesting. He says, let's say you have something you're sending in the mail that is something that's delicate, but it's not glass. Can you write glass on it so that they'll treat it right and not break it? He actually says that it's mutter, okay? Because it is a delicate thing, and since it is a delicate thing, you're allowed to what? You're allowed to do that. Yeah, go ahead, Ariel.
What's the difference between glass and crack? Just like trying to understand, like...
I guess if the guy wrote glass, he's not doing an issue. That's what he's saying. If you wrote the word glass, not doing an issue. You're right, you probably should write fragile. But let's say if a guy did it, maybe people recognize glass somewhere, you know, a guy says, oh, fragile, what is it, a toy, you know what I mean? The guy in the clerk or something. But when he sees glass, he'll be more, you know, that's what he writes. So we have to realize this, we have to machanach our children and yourselves, your friends, to be involved in emes. And don't let anyone make fun of you and say, oh, you know, you're being holy art thou. Don't fall into that trap. Not being holy art thou. I'm saying it's emes. And listen, I know it's hard sometimes to give a little bit of musr, a little bit of olchach. It's hard. But you guys are all bright. You know how to do it in a nice way. If you think there's a guy who's cheating in exams, you know, it's not the way to do it, you know. You don't have to get a holy out thou, but you could say it in a way that's positive. And you know, a guy that, you know, thinks that he's, you know, learning and davening, you know, and he does this, it's not acceptable. Really, it's not. Yes, yes.
Is there expensive responsibility to make sure you won't cheat?
I'm not advocating to be a moser. You can't be a moser. I don't like that. You can't tell on another yid to the authorities. Now, usually Mosher means non-Jewish authorities. But let's say within the administration, I don't think so. I don't think you should do that. Shouldn't be a Mosher at all. You should go about your business, but you should say, you know, this is not, you know, it's not right. And I know guys, I know Talmidim that have been hurt by it because the curve hurts. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror, right? Now, I guess a guy that does that also can, but he's not really looking at the mirror properly. You know what I'm saying? So this is an important thing that we have to ingrain. And I feel like I can't stress enough by the Torah writing, Tirchak. Doesn't say, just don't do it. Torah says, don't eat ham. Don't wear shotness. The Torah doesn't say, distance yourself from eating ham. Distance yourself from what? Wearing shotness. It says, distance yourself from Sheker. No? I think that's a very, very strong, and we have to, you know, if you think there are situations where it might lead to it, then you got to create scenarios where, you know, that you don't. You don't shock. You shock. Like we say about, you know, there's a billboard with not sneeze woman on it. So don't go down that street if you can. Because if you know, you're going to look at that billboard. So that's a certain plan that you're making. Mesillas Yesharim is going to make a shmira for that. So too, I'm making a shmira for Sheker. Okay, I know that maybe if I hang out with this guy or study with this guy and he cheats, maybe that might have much be on me, God forbid. So then don't study with the guy. And distance yourself. You have to, in yeshiva, in YU, there are guys that will progress, and there are guys you're friends with that will not, unfortunately, hopefully not, but it's in metzius. And you have to weigh the delicate balance of still staying friends with those guys and not alienating them, but not really, maybe you won't be as what do you guys say, the word tight? Maybe you won't be as close with them because it affects you. And that's a hard balance. I'm not saying it's easy. It happened with me. I mean, I diminished many friendships after coming back from Eretz Yisrael, as some guys were not as serious as myself. I remained friends with them, but not as close. I couldn't, because they were doing certain things that were not acceptable to your growth as a Ben Torah. So I think you want to think about that, note that, and see it, because some people will say, no, I got to keep this friendship. But then it affects you. So you have to realize that. I mean, I lost a lot of friendships because of that. I mean, not lost, like I said, lost, but you don't remain as close. But that's the metzius. I mean, there has to be a realization of that, okay? Good morning, Yosher. And that's what I want to bring out. That's the first mahalach I want to say. Your signature, there is a very, this is an extreme Gemara, but I just want to point it out. The Gemara has this case, it's a severe case. But what's the famous parak in Shas that talks about agadatas? The most famous parak. Are you familiar? That has the most agadatas in Shas. In Sanhedrin. Parak Chelik. The last parak in Sanhedrin, Parak Chelik, is about 10, 12 blots straight of. In Sota, there's a lot of agadata too. But the bottom line is in Achelik. So there's a Gemara in Achelik. I don't remember the daf. Arya, maybe you could find it now. Where the Gemara has a story that the city never lied. And then there was a man who came and said that, you know, he was looking for something, and he was asking for this guy's wife, and she was taking a shower and shampooing her hair, and he didn't think it would be sneeze to say that, so he lied. And the Gemara says, I don't remember, I think the Gemara says one or two kids died in the city because the city had never lied. What'd you say? Saudi Zion. Yeah, what does it say there? The exact story. Saudi Zion in Sanhedrin. That was the story. So that's an extreme case, okay? And as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, you can't always take Agadatas literally, but the message you got, that this city was fastidious never to lie, and then all of a sudden it lied, and that's what happened. Okay? What'd you say, Saudi Zion in Midbeis? Omar Aleph, yeah, the Gemara has this unbelievable story. Yes. Oh yeah, what parak in the Mesillas Yesharim? Yud Aleph. Yeah, Saudi Zion Omar Aleph. Yeah, a very excellent Eliezer. Let me read it to you. Got it right here. It says like this in Pirkei Aleph, the Sisharim, excellent Eliezer. Far Sipru Chachamim Zichron Lebracha, you're very honest. That's an issue of Gnevis Das. I remember there was a great goan here with Kreiser, Tzatzal, Rav Aaron Kreiser. So he was a Rebbe, he was a father-in-law of one of my Rebbeim, Shalbim, Shmuel Nachushlita. So he once asked me, where's the marker of a Dayan making a mistake? That he has got to pay money if a Dayan makes a mistake in his track. So I said, the Mishnah Mechor is Taf Tafei. He said, wow, I can't believe it. You must know Shas. I said, I just saw it yesterday. So if I didn't say it yesterday, I'd be over Gnevis Das. You know what I mean? So you also did the right thing, too. You know? So it says here, it says unbelievable. In the place where they're careful about emes, the Malach HaMavis would not was powerless there. The wife of the Rabban, one of the Rabban altered her words, although her intention was for the good. Although her intention was for the good, the angel of death began to make trouble for them. Achigershua, until they sent her away because of this. And then they were able to return their tranquility. So that wasn't the story I was looking for. But it's a similar story. That she was like, you know, changing her words. And they even though she meant for the good, they drove her out of there. Maybe it is the same Gemara. There's no need to dwell on this at length, since it's dictated by common sense and borne out by reason. Yeshikoya, very good. Thank you.
What's the story of the white
baby? Oh, that's the story of the white baby. What daf is that? Same daf. So why don't you say it outside? Go ahead, real loud. Listen to this story. You got it? Real loud.
The guy's wife was bathing.
And what?
The neighbor came and knocked on the door.
Right.
So he thought that it wouldn't be right to say that she was bathing, so he said she's not here. Two of his sons died.
Oh, it's horrible. Two of that guy's sons died. So obviously it's extreme, and like I said, Rabbi Shlomo Lander says you can't always take agadas literally. I'll give you an example that he says. There was a war once, yes? And hundreds of thousands of people were killed. And you know how it was reported in the newspapers? A few drops of ink caused hundreds of thousands of people to get killed. Is that a lie? For sure it's a lie. What, he dropped a little bit of ink and hundreds of thousands of people died? What answer? He signed a decree with his pen, the king, and that initiated a war, and hundreds of thousands, you know what I'm saying? That's what it means, you can't take it literally. A lot of times agadatas are like that as well. You follow me? That's what they say it over in Yisrael Solanta, the great Kohen. Okay, so that's what I wanted to speak about, the first Malach about Sheker, and then, you know, let's speak a little bit more, and then we got to go Vaitan and Gemara. And then we'll speak about Parsha at the end of Shir today. I think today we'll have Shir in the classroom that we had last semester, Diago, because it's open. Okay, on Thursday and Sunday we'll do that. Okay?
212,
thank you. Now, I want to make sure we're going right through the Gemara. We're covering a lot, so I want to make... I'm thinking about, you know, instead of having a big Bechina like we have sometimes, maybe we should have, I don't know, a Bechina, but like Chazer, like on Tuesday. You know, I was thinking that because we're covering a lot of Gemara. Maybe on Tuesday we'll Chazer, and then we'll have questions on that. So we can Chazer over Shabbos and Sunday and Monday what we did because we're moving. But I want you to know it, though. So it'll motivate you to Chazer. That's what I'm thinking of doing. Okay. I want to continue. Let's just finish the next few minutes about another din. Are you guys familiar with the concept of Arkos? The Isser of Arkos. Arkos is going to a secular court. It's a terrible Isser to go to a secular court. You know, it says Ve'elam Mishpatim. Most of the dinim in our parsha are Benam L'Chavero, but it's his Vav. What's the Vav? To link it up with last week's parsha, everything is divine. Vav. Ve'elam Mishpatim. Everything is divine. Even though it's Benam L'Chavero. And some of these things you think are mitzvahs, man, l'man, which they are, but it came from Hashem, not from our own Seichel. So mitzvahs ben amu makom milchera are equal, and they're both divine. Rashi, the first Rashi, Eilim Sinai, right? Everything's from Sinai. Mayin and Shemitah Etzahar Sinai, right? Is that in this week's Parsha? Where is it? That's in Sefer Vayikra. But Ve'eilim Mishpatim says everything is divine. So it says Lifnehem. The Rambam writes, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person goes to a secular court, it's a terrible Isser. You're blaspheming Hashem. and you're raising your hand against the Torah of Moshe, because you're giving credence to an what? To another legal system. And that's a terrible issue. You're never allowed to go to secular court. Ve'ela mishpatam shirtasim lifnehem. Ever. Let's say, God forbid, someone got into a din Torah with a fellow Jew. The guy was mean to him and he lost $100,000. He refused to go to Beis Din. You must go to Beis Din and get a heter arkos. They issue you a star, which allows you to go to arkos. But you're not allowed to go to arkos until you get that heter. You follow me? You're not allowed to go to secular court. The guy, what do you mean? The guy did me out of $300,000. He's a from Yid. He's a ben Torah. He even learns daf yomi. Right? Remember we said, you got to let the Torah affect you. You know the famous story. There's a guy, he's got a whole set of shas and shulchan aruch in his office. And then he closes the door and he says, business is business. You know what that means. What does that mean, business is business? That he forgets about the choshen mishpud right in the shastra, right? That's not what a ben Torah is. A ben Torah has to be part and parcel of every area of his life. You follow me? So, what do you do if this guy's been mean to him? He's $300,000 yos. Well, first you go to the Torah. You have to go to the Beis Din. A lot of times the Beis Din will issue what's called a hazmana. You know what hazmana is? A subpoena that he must come. They usually issue it three times. If he doesn't come, then they give you a heter arkos. A license where you can go to a secular court and what? And sue him there. Now, what I want to bring out to you is the following. Is it mutter? You guys should never know this, but I'm sure maybe your parents have dealt with it. Hopefully not. But can you file papers to sue another yid in a secular court, not because you plan to actually do so, but to scare him and force him to go to Beis Din? Or can you get a what? Can you get a lawyer to write him a letter? You know what I'm saying? You're not going to secular court, but you're basically what? Scaring him. You're basically utilizing our calls. You hear the shaila I'm bringing up? Is that a breach of our calls? What would you guys say? So Rav Ben-Zion Vosner quoted in Shvili Aparsha rules that this is usher. He's masber that since the reason that it's usher to sue in secular court is because it gives them prestige and desecrates Hashem's name. The very fact that one would need to go there in order to persuade someone to appear in Jewish court is itself an act of honoring their court system, which desecrates Hashem's name and is therefore usher. The Tashbetz, Arishon, Chuvisa Tashbetz, Chelik Dalid, Hatura Shlishi, the sixth column, Hatura Shlishi number six, rules it even more strongly, writing that it's usher not only to issue someone a summons to secular court, but even to verbally threaten to do so. Say the guy gets you so angry, he says, I'm gonna sue you in court. That's even usher to do. So I want you to get this concept of, we have a Beis Din, we have Bat Dinim. Hopefully they're true and they're not corrupt, God forbid. Hopefully they're true. I always try to avoid being a Dayan. Only one time did I sit as a Dayan. The Rabbi Yonah says you should try to avoid it. It's like, guy, you're going to be the Dayan. You're going to be the Kovea. It was a situation where I had to. It was a machlekes about. You know what is a machlekes about? A shetel. A very expensive shetel. And the woman claimed that she was ripped off. The woman claimed that she was ripped off. So what were we supposed to do? So I had no choice. Yes, Ruli, go ahead. You know, you can't use a Beis Din to get her. You really shouldn't use a Beis Din to get her a get. You really shouldn't. You know, other financial matters. I mean, criminal case, you have no choice. If the guy's a threat to society, there's a yid who's killing people or raping women, obviously you got to what? You got to go to the criminal court to stop it. That doesn't have to be both nefesh. I'm talking about financial areas. You follow me? No, pikuach nefesh is permissible. Give me an example.
Someone's abusing people.
Someone's using what?
Someone's abusing people. top of the country is killing that mob.
Yeah, that's criminal. Yeah, and that's permissible. That's permissible. That is permissible. It's supposed to be cooked netfish. Could hurt someone. Let me give you let me give you one last example, then one last thing, then we got to start Seder. This is an interesting Shiloh. Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar, guys. When you guys get engaged, you will. But let's say there's a dispute in the diamond district about a diamond. Now, usually, once you shake a hand, which is a form of the kinyan in the diamond district, you're done. No one ever goes back on that. That's like a accepted rule in the diamond district. So there's a panel on 47th Street, you know where the diamond district is. There is a panel that settles disputes. Now, is that a breach of our cause? You know what I'm saying? That's like a panel from within. It's not like a secular court. So some posts can say that that's okay. Or let's say, I don't know, there's a baseball, you know, I don't know. Let's say Mike Trout has a big dispute with, you know, he's not Jewish, okay? Now, let's take a Jewish baseball player, okay? But let's say they got a Jewish baseball player. Let's say there's a panel within that will decide their contract. Decide their contract within. So is that panel considered a breach of our cause? Let's say the guy was Jewish. Let's say Trout was Jewish, right? And they're deciding whether he gets $50 million or $60 million, right? Is that a problem of our cause for him to go to that panel? So many postmen say that's okay because it's not a real, you know, it's not a good, it's like within. So it's like an arbitrator a little bit, you know? Arbitration. Okay, last Nakuda, and then we'll do, at the end of the year, we'll do something more in Chumash. Is I want to just point out this very beautiful Ramban Shimon Sadigon. Did you notice in the Parsha, there's a pasuk that says you can't strike your parents, which itself you can't wrestle with your dad, right? It's a big problem. You can't play ball. You got to be careful. You play ball, you could hit him. Then it says what does it say? It says if you steal an eved and kidnap an eved and sell him, you're chayv misa. And then it says if you curse your parents, it's a very strange sandwich. You know what I mean? You have this parent sandwich. The top of the sandwich is hitting your parents. The bottom of the sandwich is cursing your parents. And the middle of the sandwich is not bologna or salami. What is it? Or corned beef. It's selling an Evan Knaini, kidnapping him and selling him to Chai Misa. Why is it in the middle? No, you ever thought about that? I was always bothered by that. It's a bizarre sandwich, no? So the Ramban quotes of Sadigon and says like this. When would you ever think of a child ever cursing his parents? How could you fathom that? It's nuts. So you know what the answer is? The answer is like this. A person's kidnapped when he's a young child. He's sold as an eved. He grows up, he doesn't know who his parents are. He once meets them, gets in a fight about something, and starts cursing them. That's where Ramban quotes from Sadia going, how you can envision a scenario of a child cursing one's parents. Okay? You can envision that scenario. That's what he says. It comes right after kidnapping an Evid and when selling him, Yechayv Misa. You follow me? Because he was kidnapped and sold as an Evid. He grew up, he didn't know his parents are. That's how you can envision a case. That's why the Pesuk said one after another. You follow me? It's not like there was a sandwich. The Torah put it together for those reasons. Okay? And that's why, Lamaisa, a lot of times it's very challenging. Very, very challenging, guys, you know, dealing with your parents. And you have to remember that there's a mitzvah of Kibbutz Avei. In fact, there is a shita that says even if a parent is a Russian, Machlekes, the Machaber Amah, there still might be a mitzvah of Kibbutz Avei. Even by a rush of someone's parents, because they might always do tshuva. So you have to keep this in mind all the time, and it's a lot of times it's hard when you come back from yeshiva, you're growing as a ben Torah, maybe they're not on the same speed, so you can always ask me if I can help to realize this, but you never can strike them, and you can never curse them, and you always have to have respect. They brought you into this world, no matter what, and for that, you have a parzat tov. Now, a shavas aved of your Rebbe beats out a shavas aved of a parent, because your Rebbe brings it all in Hava. Your parent brings it all in Haza. Right? Good to see you, Josh. So it comes out that the Kibbutz Avein is important, and I want you to realize this. So it's a very important halacha. And, but, you know, Ben Adam Lachavero is just as important as Ben Adam Lachavero. That's what you see, Ve'ela Mishpatim, with the Vav. Everything is divine. So you got to be a mensch, you got to be a good guy, and you got to be a kind person, and you have to observe Bein Adam L'Malkum just as well. So let's keep in mind the notion of emes we talked about, and the notion of our calls, of respecting the Torah, and this notion of respecting one's parents, and then Bez Hashem will be on the way. Okay, we'll stop here. There's the Mar Mekaymus, this one, number four. Okay, if you have kashas, let me know. Who's giving the chizuk today? 11:50.
I am.
Ariel's giving off, and then we have Shir 115 in the classroom diagonal of the